all for coming today as we're remembering a very special sister, Elizabeth Jean, the Lord called home just recently. And it's, I don't know what reunions are like in heaven, where her brother just preceded her by just a few short weeks ago. It's just amazing. And, but I'm a firm believer that when one enters heaven, especially, there's a special place, I think, in the Lord's heart for someone like Elizabeth that followed so fully, so faithfully. I wish we could have heard the applause or whatever they do. And of course, it all is a reflection on our Savior Jesus Christ. But let's start with a word of prayer. Lord God, as we gather here to say goodbye, a lot of memories. Thank you, so many family and friends can be here today. And we just need your comfort and your help as we honor her memory, what you did in her life, how her life impacted so many of us. She truly was a very, very special lady. So bless us for these minutes, Lord. May your presence be here, your angels, bring you comfort. And just appreciate this information on you. I want to read the very familiar Psalm 23, but again, I just see it as so relevant to her life. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And she experienced this just a few days ago. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I think of Elizabeth, I think of a lot of things. Wasn't she a fun lady to be with?
Yeah.
She was a lot of fun, and especially when she was with her sister, Crystal. I don't know. They both shared stories when they were growing up, and I think they watered them down. Most people exaggerate when they get older, but I think they were so rowdy they had to water them down a little bit. And she is Crystal's younger sister, and they like to tease each other about that. Elizabeth was born October 16, 1927, in New York. The family had gone out there for a while, and then with family, and then moved back to Maine. And Crystal shared some of those stories with me, their travels. It was quite an adventure. And growing up in central Maine, you didn't have a lot, did you, Crystal?
No.
Well, the one thing they did have a lot of was fun and family. And pranks with their family, and other people would come into their home, and it was a very lively place. Elizabeth married Wallace Jean, and I couldn't find this in the notes, but Beth pointed out this right here, October 12th, 1957. And of course, they had three children. Beth is here today, and we're sorry to say that Wally and Ruth, thank you. Yeah, I'm over 55 now. They're not able to be here today, and we're taping the service, hoping they will be able to hear that. But they raised their family much of the time in Portland and South Portland. How many remember the house on New York Avenue? And they were a neat family. Of course, I remember them coming up to church as a family. Beth probably doesn't have good memories of Sunday school with me. You know, it was neat interaction that we had. But Elizabeth was a very central part to the fabric of the family, and how she worked and provided and did all kinds of things. The Post sisters were not afraid of work. Anyone seen that? Have you been around them? They did whatever it took to provide and care for their family. A lot of energy. And then the other thing I put down were just two words that to me are very descriptive of Elizabeth. That is her commitment and her faith. Her commitment to her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then that followed immediately to her family and her friends. And that faith that she had like to ask Tim Murray to share some thoughts too. Tim's been her pastor these last years of her life and been very faithful in ministering to her and caring for her. And even though there were miles involved, that they kind of melted. So, Pastor Tim.
Thank you, Ron. Yes, I've been very pleased to have the privilege of visiting with and carrying, or that is driving, we called her Betty Cheek, to church for the last two or three years, and got to know her quite well, because she would tell stories in the car, and she would share things about her girlhood, and talk about Crystal, and talk about her brother Wesley. And then when we attended, as Ron mentioned, Wesley's his funeral service just within the last few weeks, Betty, as we called her, arrived a little late there, and she didn't want to go up forward at the end of the service to view her brother. She simply sat there and she said, "Wesley and I did everything together." As if to say, it won't be long before it's my turn.
Yeah.
And here we are today, and she's an overcomer. And I'm very pleased with the acquaintance that I was able to make at the end of her life with somebody who was a real overcomer. She was the younger sister of Sister Crystal here. And the two of them, as Ron said, used to, when they'd get together, it was like the sparks would fly, not with antagonism, but with fun. One would play off the other, and they'd start telling stories, and they were good stories. The thought that's come to me for these remarks here for today is that great passage in the book of Revelation. "I heard the voice from heaven saying, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them.'" That phrase, "their works follow with them," is quite an impressive phrase. What were Betty's works? They were good works, wouldn't you say? Those of us that knew her would have to agree that her works were good works. She was faithful, and Ron's given the outline of her life, but I thought about how she grew up and worked hard on the farm. And she tells stories about that, the haying season, and I forget what the stories are now, being chased by this or chasing that or something. I can't quite recall. And then later on in her life, she answered the call of God to go to the Bible school in New Hampshire. And there she met me, oddly enough, which is an interesting point. But I was looking through one of her old photo albums some years ago, and behold, there was a picture of Betty as a student, and she probably looked a lot like the picture that Ron has here, in the Bible school. And I think Crystal posing with her. And there was me, 4 years old, standing between them on the ground, oblivious of everything, you know. I didn't know anything about why these people were here, what I was doing, or they were doing. But it was our first crossing of paths. So she was a student of people like Austin Perry and Willard Gleason, and she learned at their feet what it meant to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And she continued to be a disciple of Jesus all the rest of her life. God bless her. And then as time went on, she spent a number of years in full-time work at various locations, one of which was right here at Shiloh. That was my next memory of her, was seeing her working up in the kitchen, up here at the top of Shiloh at the top of the hill, working in the kitchen. I remember seeing her there. And then as time went on, a faithful wife and a faithful mother to her children, with the joys attendant on it and the anxieties attendant on it. But it didn't turn her aside. She went straight forward. And then faithfully caring for Wally in his last sickness. A marvelous example that she set of a wife willing to lay down her life for a husband that could no longer return her affection. She was faithful to the very end. You know, she didn't swerve from the path of righteousness. She didn't speak accusingly or critically of other people. She always justified God. She did not complain. She accepted what God sent her way. And she was a worthy woman. She was entirely fit to rest with other heroes of faith in this sacred ground. And so I'll close these remarks from Matthew 25. His Lord said unto him, the servant, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things, and then enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God bless the memory.
Amen.
And after this time, we'll be going up to the church, and in the fellowship hall, we have a chance to have some refreshments and visit, and we want to get some stories from Crystal. And I agree with what Pastor Tim shared too, but what Elizabeth would share in the car was always better if Crystal was sitting by her.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because they had to edit each other's comments,
yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. I want to share a couple scriptures briefly before I pray a committal prayer. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, I declare to you, brothers, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality.
Amen.
When Elizabeth invited Jesus Christ into her heart, at that moment, she put on the imperishable that she is experiencing right now. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Elizabeth is experiencing that victory, but I will have to add only partially. And that's why I'm going to pray in a moment, because we pray what we call a committal prayer, because I'm committing her earthly remains to the earth, but now that her spirit is with the Jesus, she's awaiting the next event, the resurrection.
Yes.
When her spirit will receive a new body, not prone to age or disease, any of the fallibility issues we deal with now, that's all over. She's awaiting that glorious moment. Eventually, we will hear what John heard. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is all because of Jesus and His wonderful grace. If you bow with me, I'd like to pray a prayer. Lord, as we say goodbye here today, family is still absorbing, in a very real sense, the grief of Wesley's passing. And yet, as was said, they did everything together. And what a reunion they've already had in your presence. I praise you, Lord Jesus, that these words that I've just read are living words. We stand here, but I think of what was said at the tomb of Jesus, why seek you the living among the dead? I commit, Lord, her ashes to the earth, the elements from which she was made, but that I rejoice because her spirit is with you. That life of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit that worked all through in her life. And what a living, loving walk she had with you, Jesus. She is such an example for all of us. But now she is with you. Earthly battles are over. She is at peace. But we commit her ashes to the earth, looking forward to, and with true expectation, that very powerful Bible word, hope. Not a wish, but the hope, hope with assurance that resurrection morning is coming, and maybe not far away. Lord, I pray for comfort for the family because of your promises, because we know your word is true, that you will bless especially Wally and Ruth, who are not able to be here, that they would feel your comfort and peace at this time. Bless Beth, Lord, who has so faithfully cared for her mom and watched over her needs and just very lovingly and graciously has invested her life in her mom. Just bless her and meet her needs now. Pray for the granddaughters who are not able to be here, the great-grandkids. Just give them your peace. Lord, we lift her sister Crystal to you, that she would be comforted and strengthened at this time. We love her so much. Lorraine, who wishes she could be here. Lord, bless her in that hospital bed. Give her healing and life in her body, Lord, and just give her your peace. Bless Richard, Lord, all the family, all of us here. And, Lord, I pray this in your name, but in our hearts as we stand here today, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We all want to be in your presence. We all want to experience what they're experiencing right now, what Elizabeth and Wesley and each one that's gone on before us. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the morning service here today for Elizabeth Cheek.